In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, we're reading right now, for the past few couple weeks, Galatians. This is the only time of the year when the church really goes through Galatians in its entirety. And St. Paul was speaking to people who were Gentiles, but who had been Judaized. That is, there had been people that had come to them and had perverted the gospel, telling them that they had to do Jewish things, Jewish rituals, in order to be saved. The works of the law that Paul talks about, the washings and certain food practices, you know, not to have milk and meat together in a meal, things like that. Certainly not sacrifice anymore. But the other things they wanted the people to still do, including, of course, circumcision, which, of course, we ceased to have a need for it with baptism, because circumcision was a type of baptism. So when you have the reality, you no longer need the type. So he was speaking to people about Jewish things and how we should not feel the necessity of following Jewish rituals. Now, how does that apply to us? It applies extremely strongly to us, because people are, by nature, minimalist. We tend to do what we can do to get by, which is not the way to live life. Christianity is not about minimums. It's about maximums. It's about eternity. It's about perfection. And St. Paul was speaking to a people about a specific case, but the reason why it's been preserved is because it applies to everybody, to all of us, because of our nature. He says that to the Galatians, a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even as we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might just be justified by the faith in Christ and not by works of the law. As I said, the works of the law are things like ritual washings, dietary laws, sacrifice, animal sacrifice, which had ceased. But these other things, circumcision, other practices, which they were being taught they had to do. Now, this is because they didn't understand justification. And we don't understand it either, most of the time. In fact, our society doesn't understand the word, because we think of justification with the word justice, and justice has to do with giving a punishment for something you did wrong. That's not what justification is. Justification is not where the Lord does not punish us, even though we've done something wrong. Justification is to become righteous. Now, this is a different paradigm for the people of that time, because justification for the Jew was to be declared righteous because of things they had done, because they had brought a turtle dove or a lamb for sacrifice as a sin offering, or any one of the many incredible offerings. If you read Leviticus, it's amazing how complex the Jewish law was about giving sin offerings and thank offerings, and they had something called a heave offering. It's very complicated. But what happened to the Jew when these things occurred was that he was declared righteous, and his sins were forgiven. That's not what happens to us. Well, that's partially what happens to us, but it is not the whole story. Yes, justification includes the Lord declaring us righteous, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So only by God's grace can we be in His presence. Period. But justification is to become righteous, to have a change occur within us. Some might call that sanctification. That word actually means to set apart. Whatever you call it, it's important to understand the principle, because this is why you were born, brothers and sisters, to be justified, to become righteous. This is what being a Christian is becoming righteous, is becoming holy. The Lord said, "Be holy, for I am holy." We are called to holiness. And the simple reason is because Those that are not holy, whether they're forgiven or not, doesn't matter. If you're not holy, you cannot be in the presence of God because He is a consuming fire. And a person who has darkness in them will be afraid. So the Christian life is this darkness leaving us, is this these things in our heart that are cold and dark going away and being replaced with the warmth of the Holy Spirit. That in sum total is what the Christian life is. And of course it is only by faith in Christ. But it's nothing magical and there's nothing ritualistic about it. Everything that we do is because of love of God. And this love of God should make us, should force us to do good. Not from without, but from within. This is the principle. We don't do things because we think that they are some sort of placation of God. Most religions, God is placated. All the pagan religions, the Muslim religion, God is placated. He's an angry God who has to have certain things done or else He will punish us. This is not our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ came so that and became a man so that He would take on our nature and change it and make it capable of becoming righteous. Before the Lord, righteousness was not possible. He would only be able to declare us righteous from some ritual sacrifice, and certainly, yes, the sins were forgiven. But the Jew who became righteous at that moment, didn't become righteous, was declared legally to be righteous because of a sacrifice or following the ritual of the law, would inevitably become unrighteous. Perhaps that day, perhaps within a minute or an hour, because he hadn't fundamentally changed inside. This is what Christian life is fundamentally changing inside. It's very important to understand this. And it's also important to understand that we still, every one of us, if we're honest, many times lives just as the Jews did, thinking that we could do this, that, and the other thing, and be righteous before God. We make excuses for ourselves. We're satisfied with saying a little bit of morning prayers, or perhaps most of the time saying morning prayers, or going to communion, you know, once or twice a year, or confession occasionally, or other things that sort of placate God. When actually, if you understand justification, you would want to have communion every single week, or every single time there is liturgy. You would want to confess your sins often so that you can be freed of their burden. Not because any ritual saves you, but because justification is you becoming completely righteous. I hope each one of you looks inside your heart often and sees darkness. Because I tell you, it's there. Absolutely, positively. There's darkness in there. And there's coldness in there. That's because we haven't become completely righteous yet. I'm making an assumption that everyone in this room has not become completely righteous. It's possible in this life to become completely righteous. St. Paul the Simple did it. We commemorate him today. That's why he was able to cast out any demon of any rank, because he was so righteous. But we plod along, and there's still a lot in us that's not good. Do you want to go on living life that way? That's not what the Lord intended. The Lord intended for all of that to be cast out and all of it to be replaced with life, with the Holy Spirit, with the love of God and the knowledge of God. That is Christian justification. And the reason it's important to understand it is because so many times we do not live according to it. We lapse into bad habits and we kind of make excuses with excuses in sins. By the way, as an aside, the reason why that psalm is said at every Vespers is because it's so critical, because it applies to all of us. We're always making excuses with excuses in sins. We must live with eternity in mind. That's what St. Paul is trying to tell the Galatians. It's not about ritual. It's about change. It's about the inner man becoming holy. Not the outer man being declared holy. That only lasts for a little while. When you take a bath, you cannot remain clean for very long. That's just the outside. Eventually you'll need another bath. But a Christian, if he is bathed in the Holy Spirit and is in such a state that he accepts this whole bathing of the Holy Spirit, then he is clean, completely clean, and never needs to bathe again. This is the Christian life. And we are called to it. We are called to struggle for righteousness because of what the Lord has done for us. Not righteousness because it gives us any kind of authority before God. Oh, may that not be. That's impossible. Of course we cannot do anything to deserve God's grace. But we cannot obtain all of God's grace without struggling to do righteousness. Because Christian life has nothing to do with ritual. It has to do with change. It has to do with zeal. It has to do with desires. And if we truly understand what the Lord has done for us, taken us who are formerly exiles but now are brought near, formerly not a people but now have become a people, if we understand that, then we will be desiring to do everything in our power to follow the law of God, because it is sweet and it is wonderful. Even after saying this for many years, I find that people misunderstand and still think of the things we do in the Christian life as somehow rules that we must do. There is only one rule. There is only one law in the Christian life. St. Paul talks about it at the end of the epistle to the Galatians. It is the law of liberty. And if you understand what liberty truly is, you will understand that this law is binding. But only binding if you choose to make it binding. But binding more than any other external law could be. Because when the love of God is within the heart, man changes. And it is a wonderful thing to have that happen. St. Paul says, "Brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." So you can give many terms for salvation. And I defined it 100 ways, and tomorrow, next week probably 101st way. Salvation is to know Jesus Christ. Salvation is to become holy. Salvation is to love your neighbor as yourself. Salvation is to abide by the law of liberty. Salvation is when you know that Jesus Christ became man so that you could be changed and so that you could abide with Him forever. And that's the only thing in your life that's important. Nothing else matters. And everything is directed toward that aim. That's what salvation is. When you struggle for that. And yes, that involves following the commandments. Yes, that involves fasting. Not because fasting is a requirement that is imposed from above and outside of us. No, fasting is inside of us. We have a need to fast because it assists us in becoming righteous. That's why we fast. And the reason why we have certain fasting rules is because the church has found out from experience that these things help the soul. Nothing to do with rules. It has to do with life. And it's the same with everything else. Of course, many times I have, and most pastors do, exhort our faithful, come to the services. Come to the vigil. Come to communion more frequently. Don't come late to the liturgy, etc., etc. And sometimes people perceive these things as laws, as rules. Not at all. If you love God, don't you want to be in His presence all the time? I'll tell you, from the very beginning, when I became an Orthodox Christian, it was the most beautiful thing I'd ever seen. There's nothing more important. When the doors opened to the church, I was waiting for them to open. I was often among the last to leave. Because I felt darkness in me. And as a pastor, my goal has been for my flock to know that there's darkness in themselves. Not as some ominous thing or some macabre thing. Not just to make you feel bad, but to make you strive to be good. Because there's only happiness when you're good. And God came so that we could become good. So when any pastor exhorts you to come to church more frequently, to come to the vigil, to confess more frequently, to commune more frequently, it's because he knows that these things will help you to become good. They'll enlighten you. They're not rules to follow. They are the way of life. They are the law of liberty. And they are how we become justified. Not an individual thing, meaning doing that will make us justified. But they are the path of justification. Because justification is not a declaration that the Lord says, okay, you are justified, you're sinless now. No. Because we're not sinless. The Lord forgives sin. But even greater and more fantastic is the Lord helps us to obliterate sin. What good does it do for the Lord to forgive sin only when we still have sin within us? Because sin keeps us from knowing God. Justification is becoming righteous, becoming holy. And the only path is to follow the way of Christ. You can call it the way of Christ. You can call it taking up your cross. You can call it the way of the cross. They all mean the same thing. You were born for purity and holiness, and to be in the presence of God who is pure and holy. And it is possible because Jesus Christ became man and taught us and died on the cross and then resurrected and then taught his disciples many things that are not written in the books and ascended, showing that our flesh could ascend to heaven, and then sent the Holy Spirit so that we could be enlightened and we could know God. All of these things in total were needed so that we could know God. So there is only one thing left for us to do, and that is to follow God and to desire. And God will help us, and we will be fully justified. May God help you in this. Amen.